The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
Good afternoon and welcome to this week's edition of the Lions Roar on KETR, the Lions Sports Network. Director of Athletics Tim McMurray joined here in studio today. We've got a plethora of VIP guests joining us here in the studio. In segment one, we'll talk with head coach Jason Burton seated here to my left. And then in segment two, welcome in head track and field and cross country coach George Pincock. And then in segment three, we'll welcome our fun and engaging head softball coach Richie Brewster to preview our 2018 softball championship season.
Yeah, you can clap for that, Richie. Okay, good job. Yeah, you can clap for yourself. It's okay.
As we look back on this week in Lion Athletics, both basketball programs had a 1-1 week. Looking forward to talking a lot more about Thursday than Saturday with Coach Burton coming up here, and then with track and field last week. Very excited to visit with Coach Pincock in segment two. 6 provisional qualifying marks, 3 women's school records, 2 men's school records, and 6 men's and 1 women's provisional qualifying mark, and 3 women's records, 2 school records. Looking forward to talking to Coach Pincock about his new locker room, and we'll already be changing out the walls, so that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're gonna keep those guys in business with the way you guys are doing
exactly,
things.
Exactly, yeah. Bryce is a huge track and softball fan. As those records come down and Coach Bird gets a new idea for branding in his locker room, we'll...
stealing some from football. Saw him last night.
We certainly keep Bryce active. So, anyway, segment one. So, only loss going into this past weekend was at Midwestern State. So, we come out Thursday, and as I said, I think in writing this weekend, we imposed our will on Midwestern State, and just great performance Thursday night. Actually didn't have a terrible performance on Saturday, but we ran into a team that was pretty hot from the outside. Take us through the weekend. 14-6, still 10-2 in first place. Good to have you.
It's good to be here. And I know that Josh didn't put it down, but we were 2-1 this week.
We'd already played Monday, though, before the last show. That's since the last show.
You cut us short of loss.
That's since the last show.
Yeah, but last
we need
week
all
got,
those wins.
Yeah, but last week you got credit for being 3-0, so we can't double dip on the same win.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're not cheating,
okay, you were 2-1 last week. There we go.
No, but I think that we definitely had a good week. Came out versus Midwestern and played exactly the way we wanted to play. And anytime you can get a 26-point win in conference, you're doing something right. And that's a really good ball club. And it's fun to see our team continuing to peak as this thing goes forward. And I also thought Saturday, we thought we played really well. You look at the stats, and we won every single stat category except for
3-point shooting.
Except for 3-point shooting. They shot the ball extremely well. And sometimes that happens. That's a team that's really capable of shooting the ball well, and they didn't miss. They didn't miss that day. But I still think our team did a lot of good things. But I think at this point in the year, it's sometimes those losses like that can make sure that we go back and look at ourselves and really tighten some things up. And so we'll have a chance today to look at ourselves from Saturday and correct some things and hopefully on this road swing be a much better team this week.
Anybody watching on Facebook Live, I'm going to encourage you to take a screenshot because you're not going to see our favorite women's basketball coach or his program for the next 5 games over really a 2.5-week period. Tough road trip coming up. My experience, and you and I talked about it when we were looking at the schedule at the beginning of the year, but really an opportunity to get this team together. Not that they're not together, but you get away from some of the distractions.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a hotel, you're either preparing, playing, eating, studying.
All of them.
but there's only really 4 or 5 options. And so there are some disadvantages because we've had some tremendous crowd support here recently, people very excited about basketball, and now you look up and we've only got 3 home dates left. But I do think with the way the schedule plays out, you know, we had this 5 games in a row at home at this time last year, but getting this team out on the road, they have been road warriors the last time, one of the last times on the road, obviously very, very successful.
Right.
Road trip, and certainly this team's playing with some confidence on the road, not just in conference, but that big win at UTSA. So this team can go on the road, not worried about that. But talk about how you and your staff, and I know you guys spend a lot of time preparing. You've got the marathon trip this weekend. But really, just how do you handle the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, we looked at, this is something we looked at early on, it's this 3 week stretch. And when you look at our two longest trips back to back, with the New Mexico trip and the Kingsville trip, followed by Tarleton, at Tarleton on Tuesday, and then we have TW on Thursday, you really have to manage body and figure out what's the best scenario for everything. And it's probably scaling back on practice and really focusing on getting prepared through film. And a lot of film, a lot of rest. And the good thing on going on the road, the girls love how much we're going to eat. So they get fed. And the thing with this group, too, is we got a veteran group. I think some of the things that got overshadowed with the loss was that Artesia Gay moved up to fourth all-time in scoring history.
Yep.
Princess has her career high and has 30 points and really proves that she can shoot the ball. A lot of people think that she can. They back off of her, and then she goes 5-9 from three, and that's her best shooting performance since she's been a Lion. And having Melanie Ransom and Brianna Wise, who had a quiet 25, and she's still
you didn't even know she had 25.
Right.
Like, it was one of those kind of games. And looking back at it was kind of a quiet win against Midwestern, too, so I wasn't at the scores table like I normally am, and normally I'm looking at the stats, and I'm seeing the runs and all that kind of thing. But I looked up, I was at the thing, and we were up 5, and then we were up 10, and then we were up 20, and I'm like, what happened? You know, and we win by 26. It was a quiet runaway, kind of.
And I was thinking, we just didn't score the ball well in the first half versus Midwestern, and the second half, we started scoring like we're capable of scoring, and Brianna Wise had 14 points in like the last 3 minutes of the game. Against Cameron. And so when you have people like the veterans that we have on our team right now, you don't get as nervous going on a road like this, because you know that they're gonna come to play, and they're gonna make sure that everybody else comes to play as well. And so sometimes it's good to get on the road and just get together and get away from distractions. That's a big thing. And just another thing we talked about is just in the conference run. You go to the conference tournament, you go to the NCAA tournament, you're going to have to win on the road. It's not going to be at home. And so it's going to be doing that in front of or in a neutral ground against people that you don't have your home fans. And so that's something that we're trying to prepare ourselves for right now. And I think our team's excited about that possibility. We're still in first place, even after dropping that loss. And I think we're excited for this road swing to see what where we are when the dust settles after this trip.
The other thing from the two results this weekend, anything can happen in this league, and I think that was proven in a 48-hour window.
No question. That's the thing. We're watching other teams, and West Texas has lost to Eastern, which at the time looked like a bigger loss for Western than it is right now, because Eastern continues to improve. But I think that what it does is it makes sure that we're focused, because you go on the road and you play a 0-20 team, and it's easy to let your guard down. Western New Mexico, they still have players. They still can play. Kingsville, it's always been a tough place to play at Kingsville. And so those are two that are toward the bottom of the league that you can't overlook those teams. You got to make sure you come to play. And I think that I don't think that we didn't come to play versus Cameron. But
that's right.
We got to know that on any given night, we have to be the best version of ourselves. And so and that's correcting little things. And that's one of the things that I didn't think we did a great job of on Saturday, was just communicating. Some of our defensive switches led to them having open threes, and they capitalized on every single open three we gave them. And so it definitely gave us an opportunity to tighten some things up for ourselves moving forward.
Let's get off the court for a minute. So you got a long road trip coming up. I know you to be technologically savvy. You've got stuff downloaded on Netflix, Amazon Prime, whatever. What's going on the road with you for these trips?
I was going to say, you got plenty of time, too. So you better have a lot.
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
So the wife doesn't let me watch too many shows without her. So
she has a name. Her proper name is Alex. She has a name. We can't say the wife.
My other coach, my much, much better half, she doesn't let me watch the shows. I have to watch them with her. So it's audiobooks. It's a chance I get to catch up with my reading. And so reading a few books and have a bunch of books on audio. But really on the bus, when I get a chance, we're gonna be catching up on film. And so still watching Western New Mexico, still watching, looking ahead, because we're going
to
be –
You know, I asked a question. Time. You don't have to say this just because your AD's sitting here.
Yeah, I was going
to
say. And also, I mean, you don't have your own, like, your own show that you watch that Alex doesn't watch?
Like, she's probably watching right now, and then she's going to get upset. So, no, I don't have any shows.
All right.
Josh, what are you doing now?
Well, yeah.
No.
I'm still learning.
All right. We'll continue this discussion for many, many reasons.
You know who I get my shows from, though? Coach Brown. He's like the show guru. He's got so many shows he's watching, and it's like every other day he's telling me, there's a new show you got to watch. So he's telling me about four shows that I got to watch, and I'll probably catch up on them on this trip.
Have you guys started Peaky Blinders yet?
Coach Rose actually told me about that show, and he told me about it like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I watched some. I haven't dove into it like I need to.
What's your best song that opens up an album? So
current existing album?
So like mine is My Name is Jonas off the Weezer Blue album. It's perfect. But Coach Brown threw it out on Twitter, and he had some, like, it was all over the place. Like, it was not in any one lane. Like, he's got some.
He's any all genre, over the place. Any decade.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, all time.
Let's Go Crazy by Prince off Purple Rain. Fantastic.
Yeah, you know, that's
so
pretty
people
good.
On Twitter, but Coach Brown threw out some stuff that I was not expecting, and then he threw out another one in the other direction not expecting. Like, he is all over the place. It's fantastic.
He's got extra hours in the day somewhere because he's
I don't know
on top of
it.
All the music, he's on right. top of all the shows, and somehow he's still recruiting some pretty good players.
And coaching. And he's got three kids. Like, I don't know what he's doing. He might not sleep. I don't know.
Yeah. Just off the top for me, I'm gonna have to go Springsteen, Born to Run. And then, obviously, you have to go back to the 80s. You have to go Beat It, Michael Jackson.
See? It's a great question.
That's not even debatable. That's just like we need oxygen to breathe.
But there's also not a wrong answer either. That's why it's one of those perfect questions, because everybody's got a good answer, and none of them are wrong.
You can't go wrong with Mike or Prince, though.
Yeah. That's right. No doubt.
Or you can think about it till next week, too. I mean, you're going to have plenty of time on bus, get on Spotify, and listen to a lot of albums.
There you go. I'm going to do for the next 2 weeks with the about 20 plus hours I have and planes or buses is I'm coming up with the best answer for that question right there.
We could go old school too. Sammy Hagar, I Can't Drive 55.
See, still good.
It's a good one.
Like, no wrong answer.
Now I have to download that song because I haven't heard it. So,
ooh.
Can't Drive 55. I live it almost every day on I-30.
A, we know this, and B, this is where the age bracket thing comes into play, I think.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
I don't know if we listened to a lot of Hagar during our college parties up at AC back about 10 years, 15 years
ago.
So
are you allowed, so if the ladies put in a movie on the bus, are you allowed to watch it, or do you have to, Alex tells you can't pay attention to it?
No, I can watch those.
Okay, perfect.
But I'm a little disappointed.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, that's the thing. If it's on DVD, it's been out for a while.
I'm going to get crushed. We live one door down from the Burtons. Alex is going to crush me.
Yeah, this is on Facebook too, man. I know you're not on Facebook, but she is.
She does it all the time. She goes and she watches like movies with her mom and then doesn't tell me until after we've watched it. And she's like, oh, yeah, I saw it. Okay.
Yeah, that's allowed.
So you cheat.
That's allowed.
No, sweetie, I saw it when you fell asleep the other night. Yeah, that's it. No, anyway. All right, hey, look forward to talking to you next week. I know we'll still be in first place, have a couple of wins to talk about. But it's a tale of two trips. You're going into a team that you could easily overlook, that's played some teams close, played WT close for a half on Saturday. And then the defending, you know, just because Eastern struggled early, they are the defending conference champion. So that's something to not take lightly. And but look forward to a great trip and hearing about it, and wish you all the best. Keep it going.
Thank you.
Jason Burton, as we wrap up segment one, we'll be back in segment two with George Pincock and plenty of exciting things going on with both track and field programs to talk about. We'll be back in just a minute on Lions Roar.
The program you're enjoying right now was made possible by a group of folks just like you who make contributions to public radio. Support programs just like this one. Visit KETR.org and click donate.
Back in segment two here on Lions Roar on KETR, the Lions Sports Network. And after a both festive and engaging segment one, you couldn't ask for a better guest for festive and engagement than to welcome our head track and field coach and cross country coach, George Pincock. Coach, good to see you. We had you, I think, once in the fall for cross country, but very, very quickly, already 14 qualifying marks, 13 school records set. Two auto marks, tops in the nation, just a lot of great stuff going on. Before we talk about everything going on in the track and field and practice and all that stuff we want to get to, let's talk about last week, not because of just what we did, but I, you know, always very, and very, very gratifying when you see student athletes walk in to a new space or a new opportunity. And we were able to create that with a repurposing of space in Whitley Gym last week, and talk about just the initial feedback from the kids, your reaction, coach's reaction, to take us through that project.
Yeah, I know the kids are just, they're grateful. That's the one word that can really sum it up. You know, they had no space to change, no place to shower, no place to store stuff during practice. So for them just to have the basics was going to change their day. But the fact that they have a place like their locker rooms now that's been branded, that shares our story, shares our tradition and our culture and everything that we want this team to grow into. You know, they were ecstatic. It means the world to them. And I know that I get messages still every single day of, "Hey coach, I didn't see this when I was in here on Thursday night. This is great." So I know they're loving it, and it's just going to keep growing and expanding and become even better as time goes on.
I'll tell you my favorite part of it. So we went women's, for those of you that didn't see the video yet that June put on Facebook, which by the way, very good job, June.
I haven't seen it, so I want to see it.
It's excellent. It's on YouTube. It's nice, okay, short and sweet, but we go into the women's locker room first and we hold the guys so that they're not seeing them at the same time. So it was like an extra Christmas for the guys team. But everybody, I saw every single one of them just about, if they had a cell phone, they were taking a selfie in front of their locker with their name on it.
Yeah.
And it was just like it was two pictures. It was that one and the one in front of either the record board, if they're on that, or the big track and field sign, if they're not on the record board. And they were all taking it. It was fantastic.
For the only one we've done right, we did take a before shot of the soccer softball land that was there before the locker room. We did not take one of the court sports before we redid those, and we didn't take a before those, what I call, for lack of a better term, dirty storage rooms that used to be yours. I'll tell you what, the thing that, not just from a, you know, wow, new toy, take the bow off, have a home. I like what you and I were talking about last week. Tell our audience a little bit about like the functionality for Coach Alvarado with cross country and how that'll impact that group.
Yeah, you know, our cross country group, our distance group, they practice at 6 a.m. most mornings. So
Richie and I are out there often running with
them. Yeah, we've seen you guys
fly by a few times.
Yeah. but, you know, right now that group, they just meet kind of inside the sliding doors of the field house. So depending on what the weather's doing and how many people are coming out, you know, they're stretching, they're trying to warm up for their day, and leaves are blowing in, they're getting the cold air blowing in. But now they have a place that they can go in the morning, set their bags. And the field house is a whole lot warmer, Whitley Gym's a whole lot more warm than the field house. You're not out in the elements, and you have a place to kind of start and finish. And it's a whole lot better for Coach Alvarado, too. Mm-hmm. You can just kind of wait there for them. And that'll make a night and day difference for that group of kids, especially.
Yep. I look forward to watching that grow and, you know, continue to make improvements there so they can really feel like it's home. Let's talk about, you know, first of all, let's start at the top. Our national champion, you know, returning decathlete and obviously in indoor, you know, he's in the heptathlon part of his life right now. But just talk about his work ethic, his off-season training, what he's doing, because I know he doesn't plan to defend. He just plans to go win another one. But talk about how he's, not only what he's doing specifically, but setting the tone with the rest of the team.
Yeah, you know, Flo came back. He took some time off through June and July, even part of August. You know, he was pretty worn out and pretty tired from the season he had. And as he came back, Florin made small changes. You know, he started paying a lot of attention to how he was eating, when he was resting, what hours in the night he was really sleeping. And as you've seen in December, he came out and broke a school record and automatic qualifying mark. So he's seeing that pay off. You know, he's put the investment in. And I know that some of our younger guys, some of our freshmen, they're seeing the same thing as they try to mimic what Florian does. So, you know, the great thing about Florian is he'll always lead by example, but he'll motivate with love. And then that's something we really try to preach on our team is lead by example, love your teammates.
on the same line. So he sets an automatic qualifying mark, and I don't know if anybody in the country is going to touch it the rest of the year. And that's the first weekend of December, second weekend of December when he hits it, which puts him in nationals. But nationals isn't until halfway through March.
Mid-March.
Yeah. So that you've got your mark set 3 months before. Like you've punched your ticket 3 months before, which is way different than any other sport to begin with. But so what is that like? And the 4x4 did the same thing. Mm-hmm. What's that like for that group? Did they just like pick and choose, for Flo especially, can he just like pick and choose events that he's entering in to like keep it up because he's in nationals already? It's kind of a different situation.
Yeah. So for Florian doing the multi, you know, qualifying early like that really opens up some doors for him. We can train him a little bit different. We can probably push him a little bit harder at practice because we're not trying to do another multi about this time of the year. We're not trying to do really, really well at one at conference. Yeah, we want to go and win conference, but we'll take a 1 point win there. That's okay with us. But really, our big goal for Florian is just to make sure he is prepared for mid March at the national championship. So, him knocking that mark out early, we knew he was ready. We didn't know it would be that good of a mark, but you know, it's made things fun for us as coaches. We've kind of had to go back to the drawing board, reevaluate our X's and O's, our digits get moved around and arrows on the calendar. So it's been a lot of fun. Same for the 4x4. That's a really talented group of guys there. A little bit different in terms of personality and how they work. With that group, it's keeping them motivated. They know that they've done something that no one in the nation's come close to yet.
Not even close.
we just got to keep that group motivated because I don't think we've seen what that group can really do too.
Yeah, and I want to say this too, because this isn't out there as much as it probably could be, and it doesn't happen that often. Our 4x4, I guess, B team, it's not really a B team because there's some same guys on there, but they put up the third best time in the country at the second meet. So we've got two of the best three times in the nation in the same event. I don't think they let you enter twice, do they?
I would cross my fingers and pray they would, but I know it wouldn't happen.
The points would be awesome.
But yeah, it would help us a whole lot at that national meet. So we'll end up taking one team to the national championship.
Man.
So we'll have a few guys to choose from, which will be good. So it frees us up to...
Yeah, because you qualify the team. You fill the slots. They don't... Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, as much as I'll miss the Chili's in where's Adam State?
Alamosa.
Yeah, Alamosa. And I'll miss the long drive through the snowbank and all that we had last year where I almost blew off the road. But not making it about me. Let's talk about the advantage. We go back to Texas Tech this year. We're here this, you know, a few competitors were there last weekend, full team this weekend. The advantage of staying in state, not as much taxing travel.
Yeah.
Talk about that as we gear up in late February.
It's really a good of a situation as we can have, you know, going to Texas Tech for our conference championship. That's neutral ground for us. Alamosa was neutral ground. But you know, I think it really benefited those schools on the western half of the state. It wasn't nearly as long for them to get there. Same with Lubbock, but it's a whole lot shorter for us still. It's a trip that we can do in half a day. We can get there, we can have a shakeout and really handle business. So it's huge. It means we can make a trip there or two or three before the conference championship, be familiar with the facility, how they run the meet, you know. So I think it's great. You know, we're very lucky that it's that close to us. And then kind of just going north, that we almost the exact same distance to Pittsburgh State, another really nice facility, one of the best in the nation, that'll host an international championship. And
correct.
That's kind of how we did our schedule this year, is let's split time between the places that matter the most, our conference championship and our national championship.
The men obviously have the, you know, hardware to show. One thing that I think we've lost a little bit, and you and I talked about as we were going through this hiring process a little over a year ago at this time, one priority for you, and certainly it's a great thing for our institution to build depth on the female side and to really see, you know, we'd have to look back a little bit, but for the women to already have some of the marks they have up there, there's certainly buy-in, there's certainly improvement in talent and competitive level, and certainly ladies that do the right thing in the classroom, but talk about at building that. I mean, we've got, you know, give or take, I think if you combine the two rosters, you're coaching about 30 to 33 more competitors than you were a year ago. Talk about, one, the opportunity there, but that also maybe presents some challenges with time management.
Yeah, you know, I had some time at a Division III institution, and a lot of our sports there were kind of enrollment driven. Mm-hmm. And you know, I looked around and I saw the teams that were successful, and they weren't really successful because they had three or four studs, but they were successful because they had three or four studs, and then another five or six guys that were their A minuses, and then another five, six guys that were Bs. And then that's something I kind of tried to bring here as we recruit athletes. Obviously you want our studs, but we understand that depth, goes farther than anything. That's why we've been able to be successful in the conference levels, because we've been able to put two or three people in each event at the conference final. And that started, it was really easy on the guys' side. The women's side, it took more time. You know, we're getting some of the studs on the female side and then we're bringing talent just to back that up. So, you know, I think this year on our roster, we're at 51 women, and we have women in the first meet of January that have qualifying marks. And I don't know, Josh might be able to help us. I'm not sure if we had a qualifying mark this early on the women's side last year.
If we did, there was one that was like barely above the cut, maybe. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, Haley hit weight throw in the first meet and then got better the second meet. Nish is in there. Mina's in there. We got two freshmen with school records and or qualifying marks in Laura and Mina. I mean, that women's team is definitely trending up.
Yeah, and then the great thing about the women's team is that the growth they've had, you know, for the few years even before I was here, it really forged some good leaders. We have some really, really good senior leaders on that team that have taken the freshmen and even some of the transfers under their arms and really helped them understand what the culture of that part of our program is that we've come from somewhere we've really struggled to be competitive, and we're about to arrive, and this is something that you want to be part of. And it's fun just to see it in the girls' eyes. When that girls' group is out practicing, they're easier to keep on track than the guys. Their ship is sailing in the right direction, and it takes a little less steering.
Awesome. You also made a track pun in there, and Tim ignored it, and I wanted to make sure that we acknowledged it.
Go right ahead.
He said they're right on track.
Yeah.
Well, they better be, because I don't know where else they're running. Cross country season's over.
Well, so done. You fielded that pun very well.
A year and a half of training has...
Yeah.
I've picked up on things.
Just think how many softballs we'll get in segment three.
Oh, my... I'm going off air.
or muting me, one of the two.
How do you know you haven't?
Because I can still hear myself. No. Great opportunities coming up. We will have George, I guess, back probably late February, right before
conference,
right before we head to Lubbock, and look forward to hearing about the progress. But if anything tells me, in just the 1 year we were together with you as an assistant, and then last year leading this program, taking over mid-year, we will see continuous improvement, and we appreciate that. And I know the kids do, and you and your staff make it fun to be a line track and field supporter. So. What's on Netflix? What's on Amazon Prime? Whatever your...
Or what do you do on the bus if that's not your thing?
What do you do on the bus? Like, if that's,
you know, it's going to sound really bad, and I'll blame my father for this, because my father admitted me something this Christmas break, that he was addicted to work in the sense that he felt like he was not going to become the best at his profession. So he always made himself available. And I can see that in myself a lot. You know, this past week I was on the bus at 2 a.m. and I was changing my X's and O's and writing training plans.
Oh, I saw you tweeted about that.
Yeah. So
I was up working and I favorited it. So I guess that so that indicted me.
And somehow I was only up until 11:30 that night, and I feel like I'm slacking.
So, you know, I'm reading a book, work-related conscious coaching, really starting to understand the art of coaching, interaction with people, and how you make that work within a cycle of training. You know, just so many different people. When you have a roster of 50 guys and 50 girls, you have to know how to interact with so many different people. So that's one of my reads. I kind of get into that on the bus.
Well, that's acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very high tone. I don't know if I'm used to that.
No. Josh and I cannot participate in this level of intellect conversation.
What is book?
Yeah.
You should go for the audio books.
Audio.
There's just so many things that we could do. We're just, I think the best thing we'll do to be welcome and, or to say thank you. And we will welcome in our softball coach here in segment 3. We'll be right back online for it.
This show and others like it from KETR.org are made possible by generous contributions from listeners just like you. Donate today at KETR.org.
Back in our final segment online, we're here on KETR, the Lion Sports Network, joined by our softball coach, Richie Brewster. Very, very excited to have you. Our first time on.
Glad to be here.
This semester. And unfortunately, I have something in common with the program. Both of our seasons ended in St. Angelo last year. I had to go an extra 2 weeks and for like 5 days watch two teams not named us play.
My sincere apologies for that.
Yeah. So we, and I know we both have a commitment to correcting that this year. Happy to be there as an AD and not a site rep. So, but a lot of great things, a lot of positives from last year. And I say this all the time, and I don't want to, you know, overdo it necessarily, but we really, credit to the schedule and the structure of the program you put in place, because we were still, as you and I were talking philosophy about schedule and how we put it together this year, we made the decision to leave a little flexibility there at the end if we needed it, because last year, one thing I learned being on the regional committee, where I've got to stay objective on the call, but certainly can take that knowledge back to our campus, is that we were getting a lot of credit, rightfully so, for a win against St. Leo, which ended up a, you know, number 5, number 8 team in the country. Mm-hmm. In February, that was still helping us with the national committee, because, you know, that NSIC, you know, national committee member, they're just looking at, man, they beat St. Leo. They're, you know, just a little over 500 in one of the more competitive leagues.
That's right.
In the South. So we've got to give them some credibility. We went into, you know, conference tournament controlling our own destiny, and I think that just sets the table for this year. I'm going somewhere with this, I promise.
I'm following you.
That helped set the tone for the fall with the amount of returning experience we had. We, as you and I, you know the blessing and the curse, we had a very small senior day.
That's right.
Which lent to a lot of people bought into it. Take me through, they come back in the fall, mindset, chemistry, thoughts,
right.
Senior leadership.
Yeah, definitely. We return 7 starters of our 9. And that's our top ones. And so that's certainly exciting, knowing that you've got them coming in to build an offense around Mariah Jamison, the nation's leading home run hitter. It's an easy job for a coach to do.
And we're not letting her train for women's golf yet, despite what Coach McCosco may be trying to pull.
There's always next year.
That's right.
just wait till May-ish.
Yeah, we'd love to have her around another year with
absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely. No, yes, grad ahead. School for her.
That's right.
Be wonderful.
That's right.
So so we built a tough schedule this fall, playing North Texas, and then Baylor was our big one. And to go in, beat North Texas, and then go down to Baylor and play a 2-1 game the first game. Emily Otto, a freshman pitcher for us, didn't give up a run until the 7th inning. Outstanding. And so we lost the first game 2-1, which you're excited about, but hey, there's game 2. And we're going at them just like they're going at us, and we come out and put 9 runs on them. Had an opportunity to run rule them in the 5th inning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that was exciting. And then for Coach Moore, very great coach, very respectful. He and Coach Lumley do an awesome job down there at Baylor to compliment you and your team afterwards and to get an invite to come back next year.
That, to me, as much as we almost run rule Baylor, that was the bigger upset, because immediately when Coach Brewster called me after that happening, I said, well, good luck. We'll never get another D1 fall scrimmage again.
Yeah, it's like blessing and a curse. Thanks, but
that's it.
They said, no, we already got the return invite. I'm like, did you get it in writing, or did he just pat you on the back and say, yeah, we'll see you next year? No. Really a great compliment it is, and certainly carries that confidence into the spring.
Absolutely. That's what we're excited about, because our conference is tough, and we're going to face pitchers not quite as good as what they have. So when you put up that kind of run production, that you can beat any pitcher in the country, and mm-hmm. that should be your mindset going in, and it's certainly what they're taking in going into this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about this weekend. So believe it or not, there is a big-time opportunity to go impose our will very early on, and not just the our future regional ranking, but also the confidence right out of the gate for this team. We're not just opening up with, you know, teams we should beat. We're playing teams that we can expect to compete with and want to beat for national prominence.
Absolutely, and that's one of our team's goals. We've been really close to the top 25, receiving votes and those kind of things in our young program history, and that's all good. We're excited about that, but at the same time, our kids want to be there, and so you've got to give them a schedule that's going to give them an opportunity. And so going out there, we get to play the number 8 team in the country, number 22 team in the country. And I like it. I like our odds. We look good on paper. And so we've got to go out there and get the job done. But our kids want it. Here's your opportunity. So we're playing the best in the RMAC. We're playing St. Mary's, who's number 1 team in the Heartland Conference. And those other teams are pretty good, too, that we're playing. And so you've got an opportunity to take care of business on the field. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the year, when it comes down to regional rankings, we're going to have some head-to-head be able to make that decision, and our plan is to make that decision easy for you.
Yep, that's great. I'm totally happy with that. The less strife on those calls, the better.
That's right.
Can't we just all get along? And the answer on rat calls is usually no, so the easier you can make it, the better. But as we get ready for our home opener next Wednesday, certainly want to talk about that and have some exciting promotional opportunities and fan experience opportunities lined up for softball already. But we moved into a new home last fall, and for fall ball, I know it certainly helped. Talk about just what the psychology, they don't have to spread out in the dugout. They don't have to, you know, eat, you know, granola bars in the storage shed. They can go into the locker room between games. They have a place there on site. What has that already done this fall, and not just for the current team, but for recruiting? Talk about opening your new locker room over there.
Well, it's wonderful. And I can't get the image out of my mind when we did open it. And players that have been here every year, there were tears in their eyes.
Yep.
Of excitement.
Yep.
The joy that they have. And so now they've got something that they're really proud of, take pride in. And to me, the word convenience comes in because you're not dressing in your car. You're not going back and forth from your dorm. You're able to have a home to keep your stuff. For Coach May, it's wonderful because everything's there. Our office suite was the locker room.
Yeah.
And so that's where all of our extra gear was stored.
Right.
Well, that's in the gym. You got to take that to the field. Then you have your players come up here, so you're just constantly going back and forth. And so now, you know, we have that element to where everything is centrally located. We'll be able to do our meals during the games. They'll be able to have in a locker room and have it set up instead of, you know, out in the open and in the shed that has a washing machine, all our equipment, all that other kind of stuff.
Right.
You actually have a place where it's supposed to go.
And take a little mental break from the field where you're not
Absolutely.
Just right there next to it.
Yeah. And that's going to be nice come that series in April when it's 80 or 87 and it's hotter on the turf and you're out there for an extra inning game and the other team's in the dugout, and you get a little air conditioning break for 20 minutes.
Absolutely.
That's going to be nice, too.
Yes. Very nice.
Home opener next Wednesday, St. Edward's week from tomorrow, 3 o'clock.
How?
Great.
Beautiful weather.
Great
in store for us.
Great regional competition for us there, and future LSC member coming up in 2019-2020. But let's talk about the home schedule a little bit. It's almost – you know, it is a flip. You know, anytime you've got the defending national runner-up, perennial power West Texas, coming here to Cain Field, great opportunity for our fans, for our
Absolutely.
Home schedule, and an opportunity to build confidence if you get a couple of these and play really well on those important conference weekends.
Yeah, we're excited about our conference schedule, and, you know, the perennial powerhouses, they're coming to our house, and we like that. We've got a great home field advantage. Great fans here in Lion Nation, and our stadium's wonderful. I mean, you're 25 feet from the action.
Yep.
And so that's, you know, a great setting for them to feel like they're a part of it.
And we have room on the bandwagon.
Absolutely.
Plenty of room on the bandwagon.
Plenty of room.
We've got the berm. We got $50 season tickets.
Yes.
Yes.
See, look at me, marketing hat.
And we've got group opportunities and really, really excited about, you know, where we're headed. People forget we're not even through. This will be the first year. I think about Bailey Higgs just right away. This is the first year you'll have a 4-year senior class.
That's right.
So talk about one for you practicing on dirt and grass over there at one time versus this. We'll have extra tissue in late April when we do that senior
we'll
day this year.
It.
Yeah.
We'll definitely need
talk about this. People forget this is year four. I forget.
Yeah.
I missed one.
It's year four. We should be like, we quote unquote air quotes if you're listening on the air and not seeing it on Facebook Live, or I'm off camera anyway, but like year four, you should be like, oh man, it'd be nice if we get a winning record this year. And we've already been to the NCAAs. We've got 100 wins. Yeah, that's right. It's crazy.
Yes.
Talk. Give us.
So, like, good job first, but congratulations.
Well, that's just testament to the support our university's given us and administration and all those kind of good things that given us the opportunity to win and go out there and be the fastest team ever to 100 wins in NCAA history. Mm-hmm. But I'm still reminded that periodically I'll have a picture of something pop up and it'll be the dirt where there was a stake where home plate is going to go.
Yep.
And now to see that and a big hole in the ground, and that's now your dugout. And so those kind of things are certainly reminded. For me as a coach, I've put an added pressure on myself because I want that group of seniors to go out better than they ever have because I feel like they deserve it. With everything they've done for our program to get it to where it is today, you can't do it by yourself. You've got to have a team surrounded by you, and that's my job as a coach, to go out there and recruit the best players. And I feel like we've done that. We've got a lot of depth this year, so it's going to give that group the opportunity on senior day to celebrate. Hopefully already. We've already got a conference championship already.
You bet.
But maybe it's that day when we win it, you know, for senior day. That'd be great.
Well, heck, senior day last year was – I mean, we had to get into clinch. I mean,
very
excitement on senior day has not been short around here already.
I think we lost maybe a year or two off our lives on that one as Coach May came across the parking lot screaming.
That's my funniest. That's my funny. I actually thought there was some sort of potential seizure going on.
I did too.
I was worried about her, but then she kept her straight line toward us.
Yes.
And do you remember that you weren't out there?
No, I was still in the press box.
So it's Friday night of TWU, and we had just, you know, as I give he and Coach Piper a hard time about, we played meteorologist and moved a game, and you know, but
yes,
you know, based on the best information we had possible,
that's what we get for playing outside.
We're huddled up. Yeah, that's what we get for not having a dome, right? For TWU, yes. And we're talking with their coaches, and as soon as we finish up that meeting, that okay, yeah, we're going to defer it to Sunday, play the final game because it meant a lot to both teams, regional ranking, conference seeding, all that. And then all of a sudden, I see the normally mild mannered, level headed Christina May, our associate head coach.
Correct.
She's just screaming from, and we're standing actually almost where the entrance to the umpire room is. That's in right. Our new locker room.
That's right.
Okay.
That was just a conceptual dirt patch at the time. And she's running, they won! They won! They won! They won! And Western New Mexico had beaten.
Oh, Kingsville. That's right.
Yes.
To allow us the opportunity to control our own destiny.
Yeah. They saved their best win.
The best of their two.
That was non-conference.
Yeah, I'm giving them a little credit. They won two games.
But she was jumping. She clearly showed her trained athlete ability by running at a high rate of speed across the parking lot and proved why we let her work with the hitters.
Absolutely, yes.
That was a fond memory that will not be our fondest memory of 2018 softball.
Not at all.
But it was a nice cap, and it was a very nice weekend, taking 2 out of 3 from a team that, and that's what I think shows you. We took 2 out of 3 on the last weekend from a team that played in a super regional last year.
Yeah, I mean, we were there. You know, it's probably if Lubbock doesn't win their tournament, good chance we're going to the regional tournament again. And that's one of the things I don't want to be in a situation this year. It's great. We've been ranked in every regional ranking since our program started.
Right, where we're putting in another.
But we've been 2 years, one game away from going.
Yeah,
and that hurts as a coach. I don't like that feeling. Players don't like that. And so you know you've got to be 5 or above. You don't have to worry about that.
And as a coach, it makes it easier, right, for regional rankings because that one game you need might be this weekend.
That's right.
It might be against Angelo or WT in April.
Yep. This weekend's just what's what take, I told our team.
Take the guesswork out of it.
That's
so
right.
We talked about the strength schedule this weekend with St. Mary's and Mesa, but Lubbock Christian's in that tournament in Mesquite next weekend. It got moved to Mesquite if people want to go.
Yeah. Wait, say that again?
We're in Mesquite instead of Grand Prairie next weekend.
So closer drive.
Didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Mesquite knows we're in Mesquite?
I hope they do.
All right. Perfect.
Well, apparently somebody.
If they keep coming east, fine. We'll get them.
I don't know if we've got enough fields, but.
We can make it happen. We got turf.
Yeah.
We'll play all night.
Yeah, but then you know who has to do that. Don't say these things out loud.
But you're good like that. You love working under pressure.
Don't put
Josh that. Josh, you are the man.
Don't put that hate on me, Ricky Bobby.
But you said that.
So. Yeah, but like Lubbock Christian's in that tournament. Southern Arkansas is in that tournament. We're playing at minimum two teams that will be competing either in a regional or against us for a regional spot.
That's right.
I mean, down the line in the first 2 weeks, that's big.
That's where you want to settle it on the field. You know, last thing you want to do, I've been on the regional committee. Tim's on it now. You don't want to have to look at different things to see who's the best. Let's go to that game in February. Who won?
Exactly.
And go from there.
You know why I feel good about 2018 as we wrap this segment up? We've had Christina May, so we're obviously going to play well into that month. But now, go deeper into the world toward the World Series, we've got June.
Oh, June.
So we have May June's and June.
Yes, we do.
There's really no stopping us. So, but we will stop this episode of Lions Roar. On that note,
thankfully.
Coach, great to see you.
Glad to be here.
We're at that time of year where we got, you know, four or five sports converging. We'll have you back on probably early March as we start talking about, conference. We'll have a series or two under our belt by then, and look forward to it and having some of the young ladies on as we get into the spring and clear all these other silly sports out and let you and Coach Pincock and Coach McCosco have the stage. All right.
Love it. Be wonderful.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks.
That takes us through the interview segments here. Just a quick week coming up here, men's and women's basketball, Saturday at Eastern New Mexico, Friday, as we mentioned, and Saturday indoor track and field at Texas Tech. And a busy, busy weekend for softball with five right out of the gate. Number 22 St. Mary's and number 8 Colorado Mesa, the host. That's 11:00 and 1:30 Central Time. And then on Sunday before they head back, get a game in with Metro State at 11:00 and head back to the friendly confines of Commerce. So busy, busy weekend here as we are in full swing with our winter sports, and look forward to seeing you next week here on Lions Roar.
And didn't put it on the sheet, but don't forget Monday, the community picture at 11:30 for our championship celebration downtown.
That's right. 11:30 a.m. downtown Commerce here, and head right over to Dos Laredos and hear from our coaches about all the excitement they had from this upcoming weekend. So yes, again, 11:30 community picture, and then eventually next week we'll have softball back at home, and here in about a month or two get basketball back at home.
Thanks, 7.
So we really appreciate all your support. Thank you for joining us here on Lions Roar. We'll see you next week.